Our scripture lesson from today is from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, reading verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. Now let it speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's the second Sunday of Easter, and I said this at Advent too. I like the fact that they give us more than one Sunday to kind of digest everything that happens on these big days like Christmas and Easter. And so we have Eastertide, and so this is the second Sunday in that. What this particular text is about the disciples getting stalled in their ministry. And I just want you to be aware of that from the outset and think about your own life. Have you ever gotten stalled in following Christ or doing ministry yourself? I know that I have for different reasons. Sometimes it was just because I was sick of it. When I was in college, I was in a Christian fellowship, and then I was supposed to go to England for a month, and I decided, and I was going with a guy who's not a Christian. I thought, I'm just going to do what he does, and I'm going to have a good time. And then I walked into a hotel in London, and I heard somebody go, "Praise the Lord, it's Jim Morgan." And it was my friend Mike Corbett from our fellowship, and I thought, oh man, God's even in London. Which shouldn't have been a surprise, but it was. But there are other, there are other times. Sometimes I've gotten stalled in ministry because I felt unworthy. I felt like I couldn't do it. Sometimes you may be stalled because of sickness, because you've got all you can handle, just kind of doing your treatments, and that's fine. It may be because of grief, and you're just kind of laid low because of grief, and that's fine too. But I think we all have to remember, after a certain point, we need to minister. We need to be able to walk the walk and to reach out. And part of the reason is that, God needs us to minister too, to do the ministry. You think of these disciples, if they got stalled right here, we would have never heard of any of this. But we need it for us. And it's that old thing about the toaster. I've said it a lot here. You plug the toaster in the wall, it's got a cord, and there's the toaster to toast the toast, toast the toast. But when you push that lever down and the little orange things start in there to heat it up, the cord becomes warm. And we're like that cord. When we do ministry, we're not maybe the destination of the Holy Spirit in that regard, but the Holy Spirit throws through us and we warm up spiritually. So that's why it's important not to get stalled. So let's look at what's happened here with the disciples and see if you're stuck today or you've been stuck and you can relate to this, how you start ministry again. Because like I said during the announcements, we're going to have a lot of ministry opportunities for the members of this church coming up in the next few months. And it means for you to do something different, and not be stalled and get involved. The context of this story is this is on Easter Day, this same story. This happens the same day. Mary Magdalene and other women went and saw the empty tomb, and then Peter went and saw it, And it says it's the first day of the week. It was when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, which, by the way, is why we worship on Sunday. You know that? That the Sabbath is Saturday, and what changed was the resurrection. It's called the Lord's Day, and we worship on the first day of the week because of Easter. And so it's Mary and then Peter and now this story. And the disciples, it says, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, which you can imagine. You know, it's like, again, we always kind of, we know this. It happens every year, you know, Palm Sunday and Easter and, you know, all that stuff that happens. They, when it happened, they didn't know all this was going to happen that week. They were unprepared for this. They thought it was just going to keep rolling. As much as Jesus talked about it, they were not prepared. And they just thought it was going to keep rolling. He's going to keep walking in front of them, and they were going to keep walking after him. And what happened was when Jesus was crucified and he died, and they didn't even have a funeral plan. They had to find a tomb to put him in because they didn't know it was going to happen. And so they were totally weirded out. They were totally devastated. They probably had some PTSD watching their friend get ripped up and die on the cross. And then, of course, if they are crucifying their master, they got to be looking for us too, because we follow him, and they're going to get rid of all of us. So they're afraid. And so they've locked themselves in the house for fear of the Jews. But there's probably more than that going on. And I've really gotten into this Lutheran pastor, Nadia Bolz-Weber, lately. And she has some great stuff about this passage. She says, I suspect that the disciples, having denied, betrayed, and abandoned Jesus, were really wallowing in their shortcomings that evening of the resurrection. It wouldn't be a stretch to think that they were perhaps passing around blame and justifications for the death of Jesus. I can almost hear their conversation, one of them saying, clearly, this is all the fault of the priests who condemned Jesus. What can we do? And another saying, you know, maybe if Judas hadn't sold him out, none of this would have happened. Or someone else saying, look, there just wasn't enough room for us at the foot of the cross with all those women there. And on and on. It's kind of what we do when we know we've really blown it. We either tend to make our failures about someone else, or we try to make everything about our failures, both of which are just different forms of narcissism. The doors were locked that Easter night for fear of what might get in. But the biggest danger came from inside the room, not out. They locked themselves in with all their blame and despair and shame. And that seems logical to me. That seems like that probably happened. And then I want to show you something else, just kind of reading through this. They were locked in, and it says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And there's no reaction. He says, peace be with you, and everybody kind of looks at him. There's nothing. And then he shows them his hands and his side. Like, look at this. And then it says, then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Like, he's standing there going, peace be with you. And they go, huh? And then he says, look, you know, this. And they go, oh, and then they're happy. Then they rejoice. And so he starts over and he says, peace be with you again. And that, I mean, I just think that's hilarious that they do. He's standing there among them, and they're just kind of not sure what's going on until they see his hands and his feet. When they see his wounds, then they rejoice. And then what does he do? He calls them back to ministry. This is really important. He calls them back to ministry. He says, as the Lord has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And I remember thinking when I was preaching on this during COVID that we would never do that during COVID, would we? We wouldn't breathe on anybody. But everybody, if you ever read the Chronicles of Narnia, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan, the figure of Christ, goes through the where all these statues are, and he breathes on them, and they come back to life. And that's, you remember that? Okay. Good for you, Ruthie. And And so he breathes on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. By the way, in Greek, the word for breath is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, which is like pneumonia, pneumatic, all right? Guess what the word for spirit is? Same word, pneuma. It's the holy pneuma. And it's also the word for wind. And there's a place where Jesus says the wind blows where it is and we don't know where it goes. So it is with the spirit, pneuma. This is the same word. So the breath of Jesus is pneuma. And then he says, receive the holy pneuma. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. And what is so clear to me, and so, what I really feel like we need to hear today, is Jesus came to the disciples just as they were. Notice the text doesn't say, and when they had repented of what complete idiots they had been, and when they had perfected their faith and the purity of their doctrine, and when they had finally become good people, then they were worthy of being visited by Jesus. No, Jesus came to them in the midst of their shame, in the midst of their despair and guilt. Not sometime in the future when they're going to be better or be good, and not sometime in the future when they're worthy of it. Jesus comes to us now. Jesus comes to you and me now when we may not feel very worthy of it, where we may feel very kind of ashamed of ourselves. Jesus is coming to us and wanting to send us out and give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is calling all of us here to ministry in some way, to your friends, if you're in school, your friends, sometimes to your family, which is the hardest part. It may be in the church here at Trinity. It may be in on your vacation, just a random thing, or somebody you're sitting beside and on an airplane or something. And so the question is, what is keeping you from doing ministry? Seriously, what's keeping you, instead of just being a consumer? Yeah, it's really good to come to church and worship. That deepens your faith. It's really good to go to Bible study and learn more. It's really good to read your own Bible study and have a prayer time. All that deepens your faith. But the missing ingredient is ministry. Ministry, you will not be getting as deep in your faith as you would be if you were serving Christ and being the cord that warms up when the Holy Spirit goes through it. You need to do ministry. So what is keeping you from doing it? What is the room that you are locked in? Is it fear that, you know, just what's out there, or that you might not be great? Is it shame or guilt? Is it a room of anger at God or somebody or the church? Is it a room of blame? Are you waiting for a future better version of yourself to serve God instead of right now? But Jesus comes to you just as you are. He comes offering forgiveness. He comes offering strength to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes offering a path forward. You know, he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you, to forgive, to spread this news of forgiveness to everyone. So Jesus barges through our locked doors and shows us his wounds, the wounds that bear witness to this crazy, beautiful love that God has for us. Is amazing. So think about where you are with that. Think about what is keeping you from ministry. I'm going to close with a couple of quotes. And one is another Nadia Bolz-Weber quote. And it's in your extras today. So if you want to read it, it's in the bulletin. God takes you as you are in the midst of your fears, in whatever room you or someone else has locked you inside, in whatever ways you have betrayed yourself or others or God. You as you are, and not some fictional made-up future version of yourself who has managed to finally be a better person, You as you are. Peace be with you as you are in this very moment. Maybe you are right now the very best version of you, maybe the very worst, but no matter, because forgiveness is already yours. You as you are. The breath of God's Spirit comforting you, you as you are. Life is too long to spend even one more minute locked inside rooms of fear and blame and shame, not when forgiveness is real and Jesus is breathing peace on us and saying, be free, it is finished. Amen. And the final quote is one that Annette found and gave to me, and it's so good. It's a Frederick Buechner quote, and it's a little long, but just try to hang in there, because it goes towards ministry. And he says, let us not forget that there is power behind this Spirit, the power of change, of renewal, the power to sweep away old hatreds and points of view, the power to reach out to others, the power to make a difference. Perhaps there's also a kind of wonderful madness in the Spirit imparted by Jesus to those frightened disciples and to us today. In that house in Jerusalem, when he breathed on them, that desperate, frightened, diverse bunch became a church. They became a church worshiping God, writing scriptures, praying and singing together, together seeking to do God's will. They became a church going out and serving other people, hurting when others hurt, caring when no one else would, emptying their pockets to help the children of people they didn't even know, painting the house of a disabled person when their own house was in need of repair. They empowered each other to do things and be things they could have never managed on their own. Who were these people? Who are these people? They are the people on whom God has breathed. They are the people on whom Christ has breathed. We are these people, people who have received the Holy Spirit. So let us dare to open ourselves to receive it, to address it, and to be addressed by it, to move in the direction that it seeks to move us, which is the direction of fuller and deeper communion with itself and one another. Our final hymn is really good, and I'm just going to close with that. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Let's pray together. Lord, each of us are in a different place with this whole idea of ministry. We pray that your Holy Spirit would empower us to move beyond where we are, to not stay behind these locked doors. Thank you for loving us, even if we're having our worst time or our best time, that you come to us as we are right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.